So we're back with former Attorney General Pam Bondi. It's so great to have you with us, Pam. Thank you for taking the time. So we've been talking about lawfare. And, you know, I was thinking about how, oh, let's say back even just 8 to 10 years ago, the Democrats used lawfare for their sort of social engineering objectives and goals, right? They couldn't get it through legislation, so they would go through the courts. I don't think any of us at the time expected that they would actually take it this far to now use lawfare to persecute, I'm not even going to say prosecute, persecute political opponents. It is stunning, and it is a thing, I mean, we've heard it over and over again, but it's true. It's the stuff of a banana republic. And, you know, they focus on, well, this is just about this person. We all know that it's not just about this person. Once you get started down this road, it's really hard to pull back. So now we were talking about with the criminal prosecution right now that's going on in New York. But at the same day that Trump is sitting in that court, the Supreme Court is deciding another issue. And that issue is the issue of presidential immunity and how far that extends for official acts done by a president while he or she is in office. And it's a case that Jack Smith has brought against the president, trying to drum up some kind of charges against him over the whole J6 affair. It's completely ridiculous, and it's, I think, really undermining the office of the presidency at a great cost and peril to the American people. So wanted to ask you a little bit about your thoughts on that. How do you think the Supreme Court will rule on that particular issue?
Yeah, and Nikki, it truly is. And Jack Smith, once again, is trying to rush this as fast as he can because he wants it, you know. Have you ever seen prosecutors rush a case? You know, that's the defense attorneys, right, you know, to have enough time. And so once again, Jack Smith's at it again. But yeah, I think President Trump's attorneys did such a great job. And ultimately, I think they're going to rule probably late June, July, the Supreme Court. And there are three options. They can say complete immunity, case dismissed, probably not the most likely thing given the questions they asked. They could say there's no immunity and say start trial tomorrow. Probably not going to happen. I think most likely what's going to happen is they are going to rule that there is immunity, but it's going to be remanded back to the appellate court, back to the trial court to make the determinations on what acts are immune and what acts are not immune. What acts were in his personal capacity. And, you know, so there's a case called Nixon v. Fitzgerald, and that established civil immunity for all presidents. And the inference is criminal immunity also applies. And I think all the justices' questions were right in line with that. You know, if we don't have criminal immunity for presidents while they're in office, I'm telling you, they're just going to become a figurehead. They won't be able to do anything. Every former president will be prosecuted by a political opponent, period. The one that should be the most worried about this is Joe Biden. Seriously, Harry Truman would have been prosecuted back in the day. You know, if you dropped a bomb, the bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima, prosecuted. Right. Abe Lincoln probably would have been prosecuted.
Yep.
Every single president would be subject to prosecution. And the Supreme Court asked very thoughtful questions that all the justices did. So that's my best guess. Of course, we don't know how they're going to rule, but that's my best guess. And once it gets, if it gets remanded back to the lower courts, it will take months and months and months of just briefing on all of these issues. And then it will be post-election and they won't care anymore.
Right. Jack Smith's whole strategy just falls apart in that regard. So
yeah,
that's great. That's that right there is a victory, too, for President Trump. And speaking of whom, you know, a lot of people wonder, why is it people on the other side of the aisle, even some Republicans, why are people so loyal to President Trump? Why are they so passionate about supporting him? And for those of us who've had some level of personal interaction with him. And I mean, I haven't had the kind of interaction that you and Kelly have had, but just the short interactions I've had with him, just a wonderful man who loves our country and is sincere and genuine in his passion to make America great. And so wondering if you could just talk to our audience a little bit. You've had a lot of interaction with him. You've been with him for a while, supporting him, advocating for him through these various crises. Why do you stick with President Trump? Why have you stuck with him throughout all of this?
Well, I care about him like I do a family member. I mean, I've known him before he was president, before he thought he'd run for president. I adore Melania. I was just at her mom's funeral recently. And you know, I get to see the real President Trump, not the celebrity. I got to see a husband supporting his wife, his grieving wife, who had just lost her mother. That's the man that I know. He's a great father. His kids are all friends of mine. To tell you just like a personal story about the man that I know, Nikki, was one day, and it was when the world was about to shut down, and he was in the White House, and he was still up in the residence because he had been making calls all night long to world leaders. And I never tell personal stories about him, really, but this one just is so important to me. And his assistant at the time was down in the Oval Office, and it was early in the morning. So I called her instead of calling him, because I don't like to call him early in the morning. And an organization that's like Make-A-Wish, it's called Dreams Come True in Florida, they had reached out to me. They tracked me down because they knew how close I was to the president. And they said, we have this little boy and he's dying of leukemia. And they said, all he wants, I get chills, all he wants is to get to talk to the president. We don't know how long he's got. Can you help us? And he had leukemia. Jake was like 10 or 12. And of course his head was, you know, bald from the chemo, and he had little friends with him. And they sent me all these pictures of him. So I sent them to the president's assistant, all these pictures. And I said, listen, this little boy isn't going to make it long. His dad is former military. His mom's a nurse. And when he was in the hospital getting his treatments, he was covered in the American flag as his blanket, all the nurses gave him. Mm-hmm. And he had on his MAGA socks, and he was just adorable. And he just loved the president. And that was the only wish that they hadn't been able to make come true for this little boy. And they said, listen, he does not have long. It's really bad. So I said, okay, let me see what I can do. So I called the White House, and his assistant went up to the residence and said, president, the picture she didn't have there, they were on her computer. She went up and she told the president the story. I just told you this little boy is about to die. All he wants to do is talk to you. So he calls me. Pam, what's the number? What's the number? What's the number? We've got to talk to him. And he writes the number down. He writes the number down himself. This is our world leader when everything is going on in the world. And so he says, okay, let me call him. Hangs up, makes a call, couldn't get through, calls me back. Pam, they're not answering. I don't know. So I call the little boy's sister, and they weren't answering because they were baptizing him at the time in the family pool because he was about to die. So I said, president, they were baptizing Jake. So he goes, okay, let me try again. So he calls back, he gets him on the phone, and all this was captured, the phone call, on video, because they had a videographer there baptizing Jake. So that's how I know the details of the phone call. And I'll never reveal that. It'll never be public, but it was one of the most beautiful phone calls I've ever heard between a man and a dying little boy who looked up to this man. And it was like a father figure talking to this little boy and talking to his parents. And it was just so beautiful and so kind. And so call ended, and president called me back and said, thank you. I got to talk to him. Pam, let me know next week. How's he doing? Let me know how he's doing. Okay. I want to send him some stuff. So then the president, we hang up, he comes down, he's in the Oval Office, and I call it a swag room. They have a room outside the Oval Office with all this stuff, like stuffed animals, and all presidents have it, like really cool stuff for kids who come to visit and people. And so his assistant told me, he said, get me a box. And he went in there with a big box. This is the president. This is the man that I love, with a big box, and started filling it with stuffed animals and stuff, swag. And he saw the picture up on his assistant's screen of the little boy with a bald head in a golf cart with another child with a bald head, you know, because they were going through chemo. He saw it and he said, print that picture. And she printed it, and he wrote on there, I still have that picture. I still have a copy of that picture. Dear Jake, please look over all of us in heaven. Love, Donald Trump. He framed it. He packed up the box. They overnighted it to the family, but I had a screenshot of the picture. So I got to call the family. I sent the family the screenshot of the picture. So Jake saw the picture, and then they overnighted all the things. And then the next day, they call back, Pam, did Jake get everything? And I said, no, sir. He died early this morning, but he got to see the picture that you signed for him. And now the family, they have all of that. And they ask if they could go public with the video. And, and I said, no, it was a, and they agreed. It was a private time between a man and a little boy. So that's the man that I know. And people could tell you 100 stories like that of things that he does for kids and families. And that's why the people that truly know him, Kelly knows him. People that know him, you love him. He's a good man. What you see on TV is the showman, which is hilarious.
Yeah, it is.
Appreciate that,
Wow, a
Pam. Thanks for
powerful
sharing that.
story.
Yeah,
Sure.
it definitely brought tears to my eyes. We're coming up on a break. I'll talk with you, Nikki, after the break about my personal first encounter with President Trump. But I agree with you that, after you know somebody, when they get vilified and maligned in the media, then you're like, nah, not true. I know false, fake news. I know that person. And then when you run for U.S. Senate and get vilified and maligned in the media with things that they've just made completely made up, and you're like, well, that's how that works then. And then everyone just goes around parroting the lies. You're like, that's exactly how it's a slander campaign. And it just catches fire, like the Salem witch trials. And so everyone in their fear fest goes around spreading the lies and fears and fear mongering. I don't think anybody is perfect, and I'm not hiring a priest, people who also aren't perfect, to be the leader of the nation. I don't think any leader has held themselves out to be perfect, but this man is not who the left media portrays him to be. And as we've talked about all these trials by lawfare, they definitely have gone down, they've projected a bit and have gone down roads that in retrospect have proven Trump to be right. So I am hoping and believing that throughout the year he'll be vindicated by many of these trials, that they'll boomerang back and we'll all go, well, actually he was right. And I think a lot of America is waking up to see that that actually is the case, that this weaponization of the legal system might indeed be the greatest threat to our democracy and our republic, and a government led by the people. When a weaponized legal system, a weaponized court system, when the party in charge can use their law enforcement, their courts, their military to come down on the civilians of the United States of America, that might be the greatest threat that we're facing. And so I appreciate you being with us today, Pam. Thank you so much. This has been another fantastic interview on Stand. We're going to pick up just on the other side of this break. You can get all our episodes at standshow.org. Hit subscribe, get your tickets for Alan Dershowitz coming live to Alaska June 27th. We'll be right back after this break.